know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose. It's going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, getting you ready as we turn the page and begin to look ahead to the Browns and the Seahawks at First Energy Stadium. Seattle coming in, one of the hotter teams in the league.
First Energy Stadium?
I'm sorry. Not First Energy Stadium. CenturyLink Field.
There you go.
I got to get on a plane and fly to the West Coast, the left coast. See, here's their last, by the way, here are their last four games. They've won by 16, by 9, by 31, and by 29.
And, oh, another stat, if I read the stat sheet correctly, they've given up 58 rushing yards in the last two opponents.
That is correct.
Yes, combined. And one of them happened to be the league's leading rusher, Adrian Peterson.
And they have not allowed an offensive touchdown in their last two games either.
Well, yeah.
So
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
They're playing pretty well up there in Seattle right now. We will have the Mike Pettine press conference coming your way shortly. Our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day are, we're getting ready for Seattle. Is there a tougher place to play than Seattle? And what do you make about Dwayne Bowe's comments to Mary Kay Cabot about his season? It's also Mailbag Wednesday. You can tweet the show at Nathan Zgura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at Browns underscore daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We also will hear some stuff from Josh Gordon. I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch that video.
I did.
All right, so let's talk about that. We'll start about that real quickly. I believe he seems to be very focused, very grounded, and much more mature and comfortable in his own skin, I would say, than Josh Gordon that we had heard of prior.
I agree with that, and I think, to me, first and foremost, what jumped out is he seems to be a sober, clear individual, meaning clear in his thoughts, clear in what he's doing, the way he conveys, you know, and I'm not trying to say he would ever get out of video or anything and be, you know, out of it, but he seems very clear, he seems very happy, very cerebral. So he's thinking, you know, in some cases, about what he's going to say. He sounds very educated. And to your point, I just think it's very good to see him find an outlet outside of the game of football or besides the game of football, besides the substance of abuse, which I believe for him was marijuana. He found a group of people in that artistic world. He found a passion, you know, that came from his brother, the engineer in the Navy, I think he said. And it's great to see. And you love him to find that and not the other vices or outlets that could be out there when you're away from your love, which is the game of football.
Yeah, and he just seemed very grounded, very at peace with himself. I liked his artwork with Pete Rose. He had Pete Rose. He had the dollar bills. He had some lightning going on in there and the roses. And it was just cool to see him. If everybody hasn't seen, you can get it off of Josh Gordon's Twitter page. And we'll hear some sound bites from it later. But saying that he even said the suspension was a great thing for him because it got him grounded. It woke him up. It kind of took him out of the fast lane. And he's really enjoyed that and thinks he's going to be a better person and a better player going forward as a result of it. So I thought that was positive. The other thing that I think we should talk about before we get to Mike Pettine is, of course, Dwayne Bowe, who said yesterday, I've, quote, never been through anything like this in my life. It's the ultimate challenge. He's saying, and of course I can still play. I show it every day in practice. I feel like if they put me in there and threw me the ball, I would have made big plays.
Well, I don't know. Something's missing for me because if it's that glaring on the practice field, there's got to be, is there a vendetta against him? Is there some type of dislike about the signing of Dwayne Bowe? He goes on in that same article, I believe written by Mary Kay Cabot, with comments with him talking about the time that he missed in training camp significantly. He got the introduction. He missed a huge portion of the install and has been playing catch-up all year long.
Said, when I got hurt, set me back as far as the coach getting to know what I can do and things like that. I just got so far behind in the playbook, and they added most of the main content when I was out. When I got back, they were so far ahead, and to go back for me would have set the whole offense back. Now, the interesting part about that is he just had a hamstring injury, so he was in all the meetings. I don't understand why he would have been so far back, and you only run so many routes as a wide receiver.
Right, and I think if he's that good still – which he's been good and great at points in his career, if he was that much of a viable option and practicing that well, a lot like we'd see what we expect to see Terrell Pryor maybe over the next three games, give him 25% of the playbook, right? And put him in situations that Dwayne Bowe, based on what you see and the way he's practicing, can understand. Leave the other 75% that he hasn't mastered yet out. And I think this offense has needed a guy like him at points in the season with injuries to Hawkins and Gabriel, and now we're going to be without Hartline, having to sign Pryor. It's been tough.
I think with Hartline out, you want Bowe, a guy who can be kind of a security blanket. It's not going to happen. We're not going to see Dwayne Bowe unless something crazy happens. We are not going to see. When they played Darius Jennings ahead of Dwayne Bowe, that said everything you need to know. We're not going to see Dwayne Bowe this year. I really don't. I don't think we'll see again. It will be one of the great mysteries to me of all time, especially if next year he goes somewhere and plays and is
a contributor.
Reasonably effective.
A contributor.
Right. Reasonably effective. Because it just is one of those strange things, and you read his quotes, and he says he's being a good teammate. I know the players on the team actually like him a lot, and I know that, you know, in some ways some people think that's a good thing and a bad thing, but I know that he is well-respected by the players on the team, and a lot of the young guys do look up to him. And I'll tell you what, I'm on the sideline, and I hear the way that the fans talk to Dwayne Bowe, and I feel bad for Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe, you can say what you want, and maybe there are things, like you said, there's something that's missing. Dwayne Bowe has not gotten the opportunity to even go play one game, play every snap, run all the routes, get targeted, and either succeed or fall flat on his face. He has not gotten that opportunity with the Cleveland Browns, and he won't get the opportunity with the Cleveland Browns.
And to speak of that perspective with you hearing the fans and the way they talk to him, Marlon Moore, last week at Brunswick's Discount Drug Mart, and we don't have to say verbatim of what was said to him, but if you recall, it was after the Cincinnati game. Marlon Moore had missed time with his rib injury, still came back in, struggled through, you know, running routes and being targeted with his rib injury, walking off the field, and a fan said, "What? Thank Marlon you. Moore, you're such a big
beep."
Beep.
Implying that he lacked toughness, which is crazy because Marlon Moore is one of the toughest guys in the league.
Correct.
But Marlon Moore was like, man, that hurt me.
Right.
Like, it hurt me. He heard it, and it hurt him.
At his home stadium.
And he's a guy who plays through all kinds of injury and is the epitome of toughness for the football team. Dwayne Bowe hears a lot of awful stuff, and he does. I've never once seen him turn around, as he easily could do, and talk back to the crowd. He never has done that. Not one time. And I believe that whatever you want to say about this, obviously this has been a failed signing. It never got a chance to get off the ground for whatever reason, and whatever, if that's Dwayne Bowe's fault, if that's the coaching's fault, whatever. It's never had an opportunity. Mike Pettine, he talked about it more today because of that story, and said a lot of it had to do with the fact that he only plays the X receiver, and that's where Travis Benjamin is playing. If he was, again, it's obviously going to go down as one of the colossal all-time free agent busts, but I would love to see Dwayne Bowe get an opportunity to just go and play football, and I don't think we're going to get to see it. We'll have to see it next year, and I think that'll be interesting. I know that it's something that I'll pay attention to. You know, how does Dwayne Bowe do? I mean, it's hard for me to think that he would be worse than Miles Austin, who was productive here.
Very productive.
Just went to Philadelphia. He's been released already by Philadelphia.
What, 50 receptions last year for us?
Yeah, about 50, 497 yards,
yeah.
Three touchdowns. Dwayne Bowe, you would think could do that, but we'll never know. I don't think we ever will know. And again, you know, I will give him credit for going out there. He even got asked on the sidelines by the security people before the game this Sunday for his credential when he was out there in street clothes.
Stop.
I swear. He's like, I'm Dwayne Bowe.
For pre-game?
Pre-game.
Without any Browns gear on.
Correct. Yes. So I'll give him a lot of credit for keeping his head up, being a pro, and dealing with what would drive a lot of people probably pretty crazy, especially stuff that comes out of the crowd at him. And maybe it is his fault in a way that we just aren't privy to, we don't get to know about. But from where I sit and where you sit and our understanding of it, you know, he's never gotten a chance. And for him to go out there and still be engaged as he is with the other guys on the sideline – is pretty impressive from Dwayne Bowe. And unfortunately, that seems like that's the only return we're going to get on that investment from Mr. Bowe. So that's it going forward. All right, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll come back with Mike Pettine's press conference. You'll hear his comments about Dwayne Bowe and other things as well when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If your child suffered a serious birth injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Let's go to the podium now and hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
Sunday will certainly be a big test for us to go on the road, to face a quality football team in Seattle. Have won 4 in a row, 6 of their last 7. And then you add to it that they're in their building, one of the toughest environments, to play. And just looking at the forecast for the next 10 days in Seattle, it's all the same. So I don't think we'll be prepared for that. The chance of some wind, some rain, it's a great test. We see it as a great opportunity to go up there and as I said earlier, cut it loose. Why not? I mean, we're coming off a win. We did some good things, and we're hoping to build on that. And we know the challenge that exists. And as I said, we have a ton of respect for Seattle and what they're doing and where they are. We're going to go up there and give great effort and compete and see how it falls out. Quarterback wise, they're playing extremely well. Russell Wilson has put together a stretch that. Better than any other quarterback in the last month. Making good decisions, using his athleticism. I think they've done a good job building that system around him. I know they have some questions at running back, but they have guys that filled in that are very very capable. I'm very familiar with Fred Jackson. They used him primarily on third down. Spent a year with him in Buffalo. And defensively, it's all built around their front four. They don't pressure a lot. Because essentially they don't have to. Those guys, they do a good job getting off the ball up front, all high motor guys that they do a good job scheming up pass rush games. That's something they're very productive with each week. So our mission up front, we have to control their front four and see if we can establish the type of run game that we showed this past Sunday. And give Johnny some time. On the injury front, the players that won't practice will be Hawkins, Gilbert, and Winston, all in the concussion protocol. We've listed Joe Thomas with a knee, but today will be his standard day off, and then we're hopeful to get him back later in the week. And everybody else should be available at least on a limited basis. I'll open it up.
You got Johnny on there with the right elbow. Is that still the same issues he's had?
And he really hasn't had. I mean, it's just as the year's gone on, just due to the decreased volume in practice, that really has not been an issue.
Mike, that's 2 days in a row or that you've talked to us that you say cut it loose. Why not? What do you mean by cutting it loose at this point? I mean, does that mean throwing everything out there, or is that just an attitude that you want your team to have?
It's the attitude. We're not going up there to curl up in a ball. We're going up there to compete. I mean, and I thought our guys showed that this past Sunday. When you talk about just where our season had gotten to and losing 7 in a row, Sunday's game, two teams in very similar situations, and I thought you saw one team that wanted to be out there and wanted to compete and wanted to win a football game, and I don't know if I sensed that same attitude from the other side. So, no, I'm proud of our guys, the way they came out. I mean, the message from the coaches on that can only go so far, that we're going to get our guys mentally ready to play. But I think that was more of a sign of our veteran leadership and brought those young guys along, and the focus, the energy. We had very few mental mistakes. We only missed 2 tackles in the game, which I think is a low for the season. Penalty wise, it was one of our better games in that sense. But no, that we're just not going to go up there and you know, just put in a day. And but as I stress to the team, that starts today with how we prepare, how we practice.
Hey, Mike, did you guys go after to try to retain Ruben, or where was that process?
You engage all of your free agents at some time or another. Sometimes it's before the season, sometimes it's during. Sometimes you're going to wait and see how the season goes and engage them after. That was just a situation where it didn't work out. When guys get to the market, you have to make sure that and I've said this before, that you have your guidelines for, hey, this is the right player, but it's got to be at the right price. And that's where you have that sometimes you have the disagreements, or when things don't work out, it's because, well, essentially it is the right player, but we could never get it to be the right price.
Guys couldn't stop the run last year, and then this year, same problem. And Ruben's, you know, one of the key guys, according to Carroll, in stopping the run. And, you know, I know there.
Well, I think where he's improved this year as well is he's healthier, and I think that's helped him. I mean, and he's a tough guy and didn't want it. I mean, there were times where he would never say he was hurt, but Rube was. I know Rube gutted through a lot last year, and I think at times it affected his performance.
Quick question about Winston. You waited 2 years to get a carry. You got it in that tough ending. How did you take that when he fumbled, and how do you take it now that you got to reassess, and if and when he comes back, how do you factor that in?
Nobody's as frustrated than he is. I mean, he was his former team, captain for the game, gets a chance to get in there and, you know, trying to make a play and gets the ball punched out. I mean, that was a tough one. And then to believe it was on a kickoff, he got concussed. So it was a tough day, but you know, Glenn's a tough kid and he'll fight back from this. I think so. I mean, Glenn's a guy. It's given us good work. Works hard in practice. It's just a shame that, you know, that the one play he was in there, that's what happened. But he did some quality work for Tabes, and he's a guy with has an NFL skill set.
Mike, I think people want to compare Russell with Johnny just because they're similar height. When you watch both their games, what similarities and differences?
Well, I think that the first one is just the experience level. I mean, that just Wilson's been in the league longer and has been a system longer and just has played more. I don't know how many starts he has total compared to the five that Johnny has. But no, you can certainly see the similarities. I think they've done a nice job up there, kind of building the package around him. He's more of a runner than we see Johnny, and I'm talking about called quarterback runs. Yeah, do we have some zone read stuff? And putting the quarterback on the move, we do that. But he's a little. I think he's thicker built and can withstand maybe some of the shots in the run game more so than we would want to expose Johnny to. Now, you know, Johnny will be he'll get his rushing yards, and you know, when the pocket breaks down and he has to get out, and that's where Wilson's done a good job as well. When he's been forced to get out of the pocket, he's a threat to scramble for a first down. But I think where his game has really taken off is his eyes are down the field more so now. He's made a lot of big plays with throws on the run.
Where did that pass rush come from on Sunday?
The Cleveland Browns.
But you guys had 17 sacks, obviously, and then you get 9. I mean, it was like.
Well, I think it's a function of a lot of things. I thought we had a good plan. You know, some of it was some of the things they were doing that we exploited. The other thing is we got a lead. We got a lead, and when the situations aren't 50-50, when a team breaks a huddle and I'm a pass rusher, and it's a tie game, or another team's ahead, and it's second and 7, the likelihood it's still a 50-50 down, whereas you get up a couple scores, which is not a luxury that we've had that often this season. And that's when you see things like that happen, when you can go ahead and tee off and say, hey, listen, I'm going to stop the run on the way to the quarterback. That the circumstances were better. But I thought our guys played well. I thought, I mean, Dez Bryant has been – extremely consistent this year, and I think that's been kind of hidden in the lack of team success that we've had. Dez Bryant's having a pretty good year for us with his not just – I mean, I know he's the sack production that he's had, but just his ability to affect the quarterback, that he's got a lot of hits, a lot of hurries. It was good to see Nate have the game that he did and you know, Krug get some production. But I think the circumstances of the game and some of the things that they were doing, I think just all kind of added up to the nine sacks.
Mike, the Seahawks, you talked about, you kind of know what they're going to be defensively. Do they pretty much stay in that cover three look that they show, and is it just a matter of beating them?
Early downs they do. There's some variety. It's not as they're not in the exact same front and coverage every play. There's a lot of subtle tweaks to it that you could see that they game plan into it. Some they'll play the cover three a little bit different week to week based on the opponent. You know, where Chancellor comes down, they mix that up. They usually end up in some type of 4-4 look, but he could be anywhere. Sometimes he could be at the inside backer. Sometimes he'll come down as a safety, but it plays out structurally very much the same. Third down, there'll be some variety. And they've mixed some things up. They switched some coverages up against Baltimore, did some different things. But there's a little bit more variety on third down, depending on what the down and distance is.
Mike, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees have both won Super Bowls and among the elite quarterbacks. Everybody. There's no other short guys at all. Of Johnny now on the scene. Are they just exceptions, or are they examples that size is overrated at the position?
I don't know if I want to say that they're necessarily exceptions. I just think coming up through the ranks that you don't typically get a lot of shorter quarterbacks, because I think guys kind of know the deal that if I'm going to make it in the NFL, that I'm likely going to probably have to end up playing a different position. So you don't see a lot to necessarily choose from that are playing at a high level in college football. But you know, those two guys also were, I mean, very good functioning in their very highly functioning in their systems, and they had really good teams around them. So can you win with a shorter quarterback? I believe so. I mean, it's what we've said along here all the time that you've got to build it. The supporting cast. There's only a handful of quarterbacks in this league that can be successful outside of a supporting cast, that's the ultimate goal is to make the quarterback position less important. Still the most important position, but just less important. When you're running the ball well, you're playing good defense, that you're not falling behind situations we just talked about. All those things that lead to your quarterback looking pretty good when your second downs aren't long, your third downs aren't long.
Mike, your first combine, which was 2014, I remember you saying you didn't think Russell Wilson was a top 10 quarterback at that time. Is he – worked his way in that conversation in your mind? Has he ascended that list in your mind?
He's ascended over the last – I mean, he plays at a high level. He's very productive, and they win. Now, a lot of that, I think, is a function, too, of he's the perfect quarterback for what they do, and they've – it's to me, it goes both ways. They've also built it around him. Would you put him up there with the guys that can transcend their supporting cast? You know, the Brady's, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Brees, Roethlisberger, the ones that you would consider the 2, 3, 4 elite guys. But, no, he certainly played himself into that next tier.
Mike, what do you think Sunday did for Johnny's confidence, and what do you hope it did?
Nothing but boost it. I mean, here's a guy who came out, had one of his better weeks of practice. Prepared extremely well. I thought he had a good sense of the Niners' defense, and that's not a defense that's going to sit in one look against you. That they're going to mix it up, and there was some processing that he had to do. That it wasn't, hey, I'm getting one front and one coverage, and it's just a matter of making plays. I know where to go with the ball. That wasn't the case with some of the stuff that they threw at him, and he handled all that well. So it can do nothing but bolster the confidence. And, you know, that's big. You got to be confident going into Seattle. You can't go up there unsure, uncertain, because that plays right into their hands. So we're looking for more of the same this week. Now, there'll be less of the – we already talked about it. I mean, this is a team – they're not going to give you as many looks as other teams, but what they do extremely well. And you have to be efficient. You got to be extremely accurate. This is a team that they, you know, they thrive on the quarterback making mistakes. So that's, that's where his success this week will come from. You know, today, that what's already occurred, you know, Monday through Saturday, then hopefully we can get that. That'll translate out on the field.
Mike, Joe, two more. Joe Thomas hasn't missed a snap, obviously, since he's been here. Is this knee something that could keep him out?
I don't think so. It's but we just might have to give him a second day. But it's no, this is more precautionary. But there's nothing that we're looking at now like, wow, it's going to be a struggle for him to play.
Said in an interview that he, after training camp, he kind of understands, after falling behind, you know, why he hasn't been a fit. Where is he at right now? And can you just kind of flush that situation out? Because there are a lot of questions about why he has not been able to position himself to get on a football field and try and help the football team this year.
Yeah, there's frustration there, I'm sure, from – you know, on both ends, that it hasn't worked out as we had hoped. That he did fall behind, and as I've said, in each week is a separate storyline, separate set of circumstances that we evaluate, and more weeks than not, that he was not in a group of receivers that we were going to have up, and that's, you know, big part of it is he only plays the one spot, which is the X, which Travis has occupied that spot and played at a high level for most of the year. That our other guys know multiple positions, so it's tough, and I know he's frustrated, and that it hasn't worked out. But that's, you know, that's a week to week decision that we make, and we put all, you know, we hit the reset button and talk about, you know, who are the guys that we're going to have up, what spots are they going to play. And usually it's multiple spots, and then I always use the phrase, then we backfill from a special team standpoint.
Is the reason he only knows X is that that's what he's always done in his career? Or, I mean, could he learn another position?
Yeah, I mean, just from a body type skill set standpoint, I mean, he is primarily an X, and that's what he's played.
That was head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, earlier today. We're going to take a timeout after the call, 216-578-0050. We will take your calls. You're listening to Matt Wilhelm and Nathan Zagura on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Browns season ticket members, don't miss the holiday sale at the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop Friday, December the 18th and Saturday, December the 19th. It's your chance to stock up on Browns gear for you and everyone on your list with 30% off of everything for season ticket members, 40% off everything for premium ticket members by presenting your ticket member benefit card, and 50% off select merchandise for the entire dog pound. This offer is valid only at the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium, and discounts cannot be combined with any other offers. The Browns Pro Shop is open this Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the special season ticket member holiday sale. So there you go, 30% if you're for season ticket members, 40% for premium season ticket members. Not a bad deal. Go down there and get some Browns gear for the Browns fans.
You haven't done that in a long time.
I know. I haven't had a Kentucky Bourbon Barrel in a long time. I've had a lot of bourbon, but not the barrel ale.
Gotcha.
And I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying a great Christmas drink right now.
Yeah?
Bourbon.
Okay.
On an ice block. You can have it cold or hot. So if you had a cold.
Not a bourbon drinker, but anyway, I'm listening.
Bourbon.
Okay.
A splash of cider, like real cider, like Patterson Farms.
Yeah.
Like the real cider. A cinnamon stick. Oh, delightful. And you can heat it up, you know, late at night for while you're watching the snowfall. If we could get any snow around here for the holiday season. Do you
want a
white Christmas?
I do. Just, I want a dusting, like an inch and a half to cover the ground. Yes.
That's what I want. But what you want is for us to go to the phone, so that's what we're going to do. 216-578-0850. I mean, right now it's talking about being 55 degrees and raining on Christmas. What is this? Global warming? 216-578-0850. Corey in New York. Corey.
Hey guys. Just wanted to talk to you guys quickly about Johnny and how I think it'd be a huge mistake to simply just give up on him in the offseason. He's thrown 6 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions in 5 games with the weapons of Travis Benjamin, Gary Barnage, and Marlon Moore. I think we have huge problems defensively, and I think it'd be a huge mistake to take a quarterback like Paxton Lynch rather than get an elite defender with a top pick in the draft. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the call. I think, you know, the good news is you're going to be in a position to probably have, you know, a pick of whether you want the top receiver, if you want one of the top 2 quarterbacks, do you want one of the defensive players that makes an impact. I don't know if you can feel comfortable going into next year with just Johnny Manziel and Josh McCown. I don't know if you're ready to turn the keys over to Johnny full-time like that. So if there is a quarterback that you think can be a franchise quarterback, you do that. If you can't, if you don't feel that way, then I agree with you. I'm much more inclined to go ahead and either get a defender, or I'm inclined to go ahead and get, like, Megaquan, get a wide receiver, a big-time playmaker for this.
But
offense.
You wouldn't take him at 2, potentially, where we would draft right now. So what would you do?
Because you could trade back. You could see if somebody wants to come up and somebody covets one of those quarterbacks. Somebody covets, you know, if a quarterback goes 1, somebody covets both 2. It's going to be interesting at the top of the draft. I don't know if people think there are that many impact players that they have to come up and get. So we'll see.
When you look at Megaquan, who does he remind you of this past year's draft? Would it be like a Dorial Green Beckham?
Much more refined than that. Much more refined.
Okay. But Devontae Parker?
Let's see.
But
let's
bigger?
Yeah, a little bit bigger. He would remind me more of, like...
Because I feel like we know these guys because we talked receivers so much all offseason.
Yeah, I would say he reminds me more 6'3", 216. I'd say maybe he's more like a Julio Jones type.
But Julio is like 229, is he not?
This guy's 6'3", 216, so he could be... Devontae Parker, better than Allen Robinson. Certainly his college pedigree is better than Allen Robinson. Bottom line is he's good. That's what he is. Allen Robinson, 6'3", 209, so physically that's a little bit more of a comparison.
Yeah, okay.
A Julio, 6'3". How big is Julio Jones? He's a big guy, Julio Jones. Big, big guy. But was he? I don't think he was that big right when he came out. 6'3", 220, so that's the exact same size.
Okay.
6'3", 219.
When you look at them, one looks like a college football player and one looks like a professional.
One looks like a grown man.
Correct.
All right, let's go to Johnny D in Dallas. Johnny D, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Hey, it was good meeting up with you.
Yeah, good seeing you on Dog Pound Drive. Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. Unfortunately, the game didn't end the way we wanted, but we still had a great time. Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that Marlon Moore situation where, you know, fans get on some of our players. I just think some of these people have absolutely no life to where they need to take it out on players that seem to be giving everything they have. And, I mean, we're human beings, man. Not everybody's going to be able to bring it the same every week. But my question is more along the lines of, do you see that at other stadiums, or is it just us? And then second...
I can tell you just from being down on the field, you see it in every stadium. Obviously, I think our fans had reached a point where they were a little bit more fed up in the 7-game.
But isn't it more so, from my experience, it's the visiting team talking about... I mean, the home team talking about the visiting team. Not the home team talking about their own team.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you do see, though, some pretty good booings of... You know, when teams aren't doing what they're supposed to do out there. But the thing about it to me
is... booing and questioning someone's manhood?
Coming after Marlon Moore for toughness is like saying, I'm a giant buffoon. Because not only Marlon Moore is tough. That's one of the things that he absolutely brings to the table. So, yeah, you see this. It's unfortunate when you do see it. I certainly don't like it. And that one had crossed the line. But I would say this year... Browns fans in general were a little bit fed up, I think, maybe. Is that the way to say it? And I think they were a little bit tougher on the players than they have been. Certainly in years past, you didn't hear stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been a Browns fan for a long time, and we're rough. And it becomes personal, which it shouldn't. You know, we're watching and enjoying a sport, and when it crosses the line into personal situations, I think it's too far. But on the Johnny situation, I've also read some people writing that, you know, Johnny needs to show how he can play against Russell Wilson. And I think people forget about, you know, if you go and look at Russell Wilson's first 2 years in the league, they didn't ask him to do really anything. He basically, his rookie year, he was handing off, and he had a great defense in Marshawn Lynch running.
Yeah, they were last in the league in passing attempts.
I think it was his second year in, maybe the third quarter of the season where he started to open up a little bit. And I think that's one of the problems we have in Cleveland is we throw these young guys in, the team is just not very good, and you're expecting too much too soon. You go back and look at Roethlisberger the same thing with his rookie season. He was basically just a caretaker of the offense, and they relied on their D in their running game.
Yeah, but Johnny, you know what? You're asking a fan base that has gone through how many quarterbacks since 1999, how many head coaches since 1999, how many different regimes at general manager since 1999, and you're selling process. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. And as we saw last year, a fan base was optimistic about 7-9. 7-9 is a losing season. When you real boil down to it, 8-8, average, .500, right? Anything less is a losing season. Anything above is technically a winning season. And you saw, just doing this radio show all offseason about the draft and about the free agents and the optimism that grew out of being 7-9. That's all the – and I mean, I know the light at the end of the tunnel is the Vince Lombardi trophy and competing for that on a year-in, year-out basis – as the Ravens, as the Steelers, as the Bengals do. That's the goal, right? But 7-9 and being in the conversation had the city in a tizzy.
Of course. They're just hungry for it. And I think that's the elevated expectations for this year with what the defense was supposed to be. People were fired up.
Which is why the low is lower this year, I feel.
Oh, it's low. Anthony in California, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Nate? What's going on, Matt?
What up, man?
Not too much, man. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a while since I talked to you guys. I haven't called in since the Browns lost on Thursday night because I've been so frustrated with them. Kind of sucked the life out of me, so I just started watching basketball. But I'm glad we got a win last Sunday. I was able to come out with some of my other Brown fellow fans and watch the game and enjoy the game. First of all, I want to say that I know I heard a lot about Mike Pettine being on the hot seat and all that. Yeah. I don't think we should fire another coach. Stop with that, because we will never get a nucleus going. We'll keep going through different coaches and all that stuff and different things, different way that different coaches operate, and we'll never get on the same point with the players. So we need to stop firing the coach. Johnny Manziel, keep him in. You drafted him. We didn't draft him. It seemed like we drafted him to make a fool out of him. Because, I mean, the thing with Brian Hoyer last year, I understand, okay, Brian Hoyer deserved a fair shot. But after that, Manziel should have been put in, no doubt about it. We drafted him for a reason. We're paying him a lot of money. And we just see, and then when he goes, then you wonder why he goes out and drinks, because you don't give him a fair chance. Let the dude play. You got to stick to a quarterback and stick to a coach for one in our lives. And then second, I think it would be great if we do resign Travis Benjamin. We just got Gary Barnes back on contract. And imagine if we come back with Travis Benjamin, Gary Barnes, we come back with Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel as our quarterback. We got an offense next year. So I'm keeping the high hopes up for next year. I know this year hasn't been too good. A lot of Browns fans are frustrated. But if we do the right things with the offense, the defense not that bad, get a couple of players, I think we'll be all right. But I want to tell you guys, thanks for making me part of the show this year. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Anthony, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you as well. And obviously, we are all very excited to see what, of course, the Browns could do over these final three games against three playoff teams. Can we see something? Because that's right now. Oh, yeah, you beat the Niners. Big deal. They're terrible. Well, you still beat an NFL team that had gone out and beaten the Chicago Bears the week before that. The real thing is what you're hoping to be able to do now is to keep that momentum going and hopefully find a way to win. As for head coach Mike Pettine, I think if he wants to stay here, I think going out and winning a couple of these games would certainly go a long way to helping him do just that. When we come back, we'll keep the phone lines going, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Four. We'll also dip into the mailbag. We got some mailbag questions again. Tweet those in right now. Use the hashtag AskCBD, and Dino will read those to us. We'll answer those questions when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And it is time now to get into the mailbag. So we'll bring in our producer, Dave DiNatale.
Hi, guys.
To get in here. Dino, what do we got in the mailbag?
As always, you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD like Johnny Ohio did, at Johnny Ohio. Are the coaches, after listening to Mike Patton, he wonders, are the coaches being a little too myopic, focusing on a good practice when setting their game day roster, and maybe just not seeing the big picture? I'm thinking specifically of Dwayne Bowe.
I think sometimes that can happen. You know, it's a what have you done for me lately kind of league, and I think that if you step out of your Browns realm and you look what other teams are doing, and it's a way of thinking around the NFL as well, that, hey, I'm paying this guy, I got to get him out there for X number of snaps to see what he can really do to add value to our roster, to the performance on the football field. And I think in some cases you can look at Johnny Manziel. You know, and I know he's a draft pick and he's a young player that you don't know a lot about, and Dwayne Bowe has a storied history, but not in a Cleveland Browns uniform. Get him out there, get him his reps, see what he can do, and then as many other shows and individuals have talked about, you can cut your losses at any point when you actually know in the game what he's capable of doing or not doing.
Yeah, again, I think there are just things at work here that we don't know about. So I have no idea what it all means, what is really going on with Dwayne Bowe. But I certainly think that, yes, at some point they could be missing the opportunity to get production from a guy that has produced throughout his career in the NFL.
Also, guys, from our man behind enemy lines at G_IGeorge, he wonders, are we just making too much of free agency mistakes, flubs? He says, after all, the Seahawks brain trust missed on Matt Flynn, Percy Harvin, and Kerry Williams, yet look where they're at right now.
Well, you can't win through free agency. It is much more important to hit on the draft than free agency. You can't win in the NFL just by bringing in free agents. So I think we are making a lot of it, but it's just when you see $9 million going to Dwayne Bowe and him not playing, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, why don't we look at, I mean, while we have it in front of you, I have the depth chart right here. Let's look at the core of the Seattle Seahawks. Doug Baldwin, has he been anywhere else?
Oh, Doug Baldwin, I believe, was not even drafted.
Tyler Lockett?
Drafted by them.
Okay, Russell Wilson?
Drafted by them.
Russell Okung?
Drafted by them.
We'll go Michael Bennett?
Hold on, let me get down their roster so we can
sure. Look
at this.
But, I mean, Bobby Wagner, first time a Seahawk. Bruce Irvin, draft pick. Cliff Averill came from somewhere else. Todd Rubin, former Cleveland Brown. But Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, K.J. Wright, all first-time Seattle Seahawks, paying off for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, they've done a very good job with their team in terms of putting it together, and they've done a good job through the draft. But, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 25 of their 53 are undrafted free agents. 25 of their 53, which is the largest number in the National Football League. So they have. They've done a very good job of putting it together. They've done a very good job of figuring out, you know, what they need to do. And here's the rest of page 25. Let's see. All right. How built. Okay, so here you go. This year you've got from trade waivers, practice squad by draft free agents. Most of these guys are their own, were drafted by them, and that's how they've got them here together. That's what they've done, and they've done a good job with it. You look at their core, you talked about, as you said, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, drafted. Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, both fifth-round picks. Richard Sherman, 2011, fifth-round draft pick. 2010, Cam Chancellor. Earl Thomas was in a first-round pick that year. Russell Okung, first-round pick that year. K.J. Wright, 2011, fourth-round pick. In 2012, they got Bruce Irvin in the first, Bobby Wagner in the second, Russell Wilson in the third, Jeremy Lane, who has been their starting nickel, in the sixth, and J.R. Sweezy, who started for them at guard, in the seventh.
That draft's paying off.
That draft is carrying their those drafts or those three drafts, 2010, 11, and 12, have made up the core of their
and
team.
And they've
right
probably
now.
Invested what? A few hundred million dollars in that core group of people.
And the only real unrestricted free agents that they've brought in would be Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril in 2013.
The trade for Jimmy Graham.
Trade for Jimmy Graham.
And acquiring Ataba Rubin via free agency.
Ataba Rubin was free agent. They added Thomas Rawls, though, as an undrafted free agent who's had a very good season for them. It's really been – Doug Baldwin was an undrafted free agent for them. Jermaine Kearse was an undrafted free agent for them. They've done a very good job of mining that pool of talent and also doing a very good job drafting. And when it shows you, when you hit on a draft 3 years in a row, like they did basically 2010, 2011, and 12, it propels your organization. It gives you a huge, huge core and nucleus that you can build around. All right, Dino, anything else in the mailbag?
Yeah, one more for you guys here in this segment from The Fumble at The Fumble 68. It says, guys, do you think Travis Benjamin is going to get a new contract, or will the Browns let him walk since the talk of wideouts is on the table today?
No, I think Travis Benjamin, as we've reported on this show and many other sources and even talking to Travis yesterday, 75 to 80% was reported last week about the same time Gary Barnage's deal was released. And, of course, they're inching forward, so I believe it is a priority to the Cleveland Browns to probably get that Travis Benjamin deal done in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we talked to Travis yesterday on Cleveland Browns Daily, and if you missed that interview or the one with Big Play Gear, you can get those.
Need a dollar for chair.
Boom!
We need to get a bell on this show, Dino, the same way that you and Bruce on the Hooli show
have the Great Clips bell.
Have the Great Lips bell. Yeah, we need a Big Play Gear bell for Nathan.
I agree. But just
like a dollar to a charity every time he says it.
Just
from
for
who?
You right now.
From you.
From me?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Yes.
From us. We'll go 50-50. 50 cents, 50 cents. I mean, you're the one saying it.
We're going to do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Right. Well, donate it towards the renting the location for the boxing match that could never happen.
Yes, indeed. And as Chris Carmel points out, can't forget them acquiring Marshawn Lynch,
yes.
Which worked out, obviously. Yes, but he's not currently there with them as he is injured and on the mend. All right, when we come back, we are going to go ahead and get to the phone lines, 216-578-0850, still to come in hour number two. We'll go around the league. We've got Wednesday soundbites, that Josh Gordon stuff we were talking about, more mailbag. If you got more questions, use the hashtag AskCBD. Zagern Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.